This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Changing Treatments. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Let's say you need to have surgery. There's an older option that's not perfect, but at least it's been done for years and years. And then there's a newer procedure that seems to offer big advantages, but it's still uncharted in the long term. How do you weigh one against the other? Steph Yin followed one family as they tried to make that decision.
13-year-old Bailey Pence has been doing gymnastics and cheerleading for most of her life. She lives in Parker, Pennsylvania, a town outside Pittsburgh that bills itself as the smallest city in the United States. Her family has hours of footage of Bailey cheerleading and doing gymnastics. In video after video, Bailey's trying to master this one move. It's clearly her favorite, the back handspring. 2 or 3 years ago, she could land several in a row.
Good job, Bailey.
But not anymore.
Because my back got so bad, and it, like, hurts if I try to do it.
Over the last few years, gymnastics has gotten harder and harder for Bailey. This fall, she had to drop out entirely.
It's sad, and it's kind of, like, stressful. I feel like you're trying to do it, but you can't.
What's keeping Bailey from her gymnastics is scoliosis. She has what's called adolescent idiopathic scoliosis. It's the most common spinal disorder in teens. As many as 5% have it. Her mom, Beth, tells me Bailey's pediatrician detected her scoliosis when she was 9.
They just did that simple test, you know, that we used to do, was bend over and touch your toes. And when she did, they noticed that she had a curve.
Bailey's curve was concerning. Her doctors monitored it over the next several years. Bailey tried physical therapy and 2 different braces, but she was in constant pain.
I have back pain a lot.
She had headaches or migraines almost every day from tension in her neck and head. When you're looking at a spine from the back, it should be a straight line, 0 degrees. But Bailey's backbone takes a sharp turn, 50 degrees to the left. On x-rays, you see what looks like a backward C in the middle of her spine. And the curve kept getting worse. Last October, Bailey visited her doctor.
He said, we're kind of at the end of our bracing journey. Like, surgery was the next route.
Each year, some 30,000 scoliosis surgeries are performed on teens in the U.S. When doctors recommend surgery, it usually means that left alone, the scoliosis will continue to progress. Eventually, it'll start to crowd other organs, mess with lung function and breathing. Bailey's doctor told her she should get what's called a spinal fusion. For a long time, that was the only surgery for scoliosis. Patrick Cahill, a spine surgeon at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, explains spinal fusion. First, surgeons cut open the back.
A fairly long incision where the muscles are dissected off of the bones of the vertebrae.
Then they install screws on the sides of each vertebra, or each bone along the affected part of the spine. Next, they feed a metal rod, about the width of a pencil, through the screws. This looks something like braces for the spine.
And then those are used to pull the curved spine over to a straight alignment.
Then comes the fusion part. The surgeons roughen up and break off bits of the vertebrae.
To sort of trick the body into thinking that it has a broken bone.
In response, the body starts to grow new bone.
Then bone graft is laid on the back of the vertebrae so that as they grow new bone, they sort of coalesce and grow into one long bone between all of the vertebrae.
It's like a biological welding of the spine. Spinal fusion has been around since the early 1900s, and it's had many iterations over the years. The farther back you go, the more mixed reactions you get from patients. Eliana Bergman is 33 years old, originally from Florida, but currently living in Jordan. When she was 11, an orthopedic doctor told her her scoliosis was getting life-threatening.
If you don't have surgery, you're probably going to die. Your rib cage is going to collapse and your lungs are going to be smushed. You're not going to be able to breathe.
Eliana had a couple spinal fusions, the first in 1999.
I'm fused basically from the top to the bottom.
She knows spinal fusion potentially saved her life, but it also came with muscle spasms and nerve issues. It didn't get rid of her daily pain. It just changed it. And the surgeries permanently restricted her motion.
I'm just like a big piece of metal or a wood that's just very stiff. if I'm bending over forward to, for example, tie my shoes, I literally look like a piece of wood just bending over. Like, I don't have a curve, a natural curve to just be able to bend over. It doesn't happen.
But in the 2 decades since Eliana's surgeries, spinal fusion has had major improvements. The metal rods implanted along the spine have gotten more flexible. Recovery times and long-term side effects are way down. These days, spinal fusion is the gold standard in scoliosis surgery. Here's Patrick Cahill again from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
For a child today that gets a spinal fusion, instead of being a life-altering event, I describe it more as a bump in the road.
Still, back in Parker, Pennsylvania, Beth Pence was not happy to hear Bailey's doctor prescribe a spinal fusion.
I actually know a couple people that have had rods, and they tell me they live in pain every day. They also don't have mobility like they'd like. So we left that appointment feeling very, very defeated. I went out in the waiting room, I kind of cried and cried and just didn't know where to go from there.
Beth posted an update on her Facebook, and that's when a mom from a scoliosis support group called Curvy Girls contacted her.
She said, "I think you need to consider VBT.
VBT is vertebral body tethering. It's a new surgery that swaps out rods for rope. It was only approved by the FDA in August 2019. Before that, it was still considered experimental.
It was just like the news I needed to hear at that point. It gave me hope.
VBT is meant for patients who are still growing. A tether that looks like a clothesline holds the long part of the spine in place so that the short part, the part that curves in, can catch up as it grows. Think of it like taking a tomato plant that's bending over to one side and tying it so it straightens out over time. Just 2 weeks after that phone call where Beth learned about VBT, Bailey's family made a 6-plus-hour drive to Philadelphia.
We did our first procedure here in 2011.
That's Amir Simdani, chief of surgery at Shriners Hospitals for Children in Philadelphia. Beth wanted to meet with him because he's a pioneer in VBT. But after talking with Amir, things actually felt less clear.
He said she'd be very successful for fusion or for VBT, and he listed all the pros and cons of both.
Under VBT pros,
the main benefit is that the rope is flexible. There's no doubt that compared to rods, VBT patients move dramatically better.
That's a big plus for gymnast cheerleader Bailey. VBT patients are typically back to sports within weeks, compared to months for fusion patients. Tethering is also less invasive. Rather than making a huge cut down the back that leaves a big scar, VBT requires just 6 small incisions. And while a spine can't be unfused, tethering is reversible. The rope can be released or adjusted. As for cons,
the biggest drawback is the predictability is not as high as with a fusion, meaning if you want to reliably get your spine straight, then fusion's the better option. With VBT, because it relies on growth remaining in a child, the end result can be hard to predict.
Meaning, with VBT, there's a fairly good chance that the patient will need a follow-up surgery. So far, that's happened to about 20% of Amir's patients. Sometimes the spine overcorrects and starts curving the other way. Sometimes the rope breaks. There's always a chance that the tether won't do the job, and the patient will need to get a fusion anyway. Though doctors are optimistic, no one really knows how VBT will play out over the long term. The first VBT patients only got their tethers 10 years ago. For some spinal fusion patients, problems don't crop up until 20 or 30 years after surgery. Here's Baron Lawner, a surgeon and professor of orthopedic surgery at Mount Sinai in New York.
What will be interesting is to see how the VBT procedure changes the natural history of long-term outcomes. My hope is that VBT patients may do well and do better longer term, but that remains to be seen.
Amir, Bailey's doctor, also does a fair deal of fielding spinal fusion horror stories from the past.
Our first several patients were patients who needed spinal fusion, needed rods put in their back, but whose mom or aunt had previously had a spinal fusion and was very unhappy for whatever reason. And they had set in their minds that no matter what, they were not going to let their niece or their daughter have fusion surgery. There is this shifting baseline, and we spend a considerable amount of time telling them, listen, spinal fusion has evolved. It's a good operation.
All that was a lot of information for Bailey's family. Here's Beth again.
He was very honest about everything, and it just made it hard. I knew what I wanted, but then when he listed all the cons, I guess, I had to take some time to think about it.
She even tried the whole, if this was your daughter, what would you do spiel?
And no one would answer that question for me.
Her husband and Bailey's dad, Josh, actually left that first appointment in favor of spinal fusion.
When he heard the doctor say one and done, he was like, oh, we should do fusion. We'll never have to worry again.
Plus, Josh says it just seems smart to go with the option with a longer history.
Just do with the track record only being 10 years versus 55 years.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, everybody. How are we doing?
Fast forward a few months, it's the morning of Bailey's surgery. The sun is just starting to rise in the pre-anesthesia care unit when Amir Sindani comes in.
Okay, feeling a little nervous? That's normal, okay? If you weren't nervous, then I'd be worried, all right? But you're gonna do great. You're only number, I think, 502 now, so... So I think
you might have guessed by that number, 502, which surgery Bailey ended up going with. The Pences chose VBT. After that first consultation, Beth talked to other families she found online, heard about people's experiences with fusion and VBT. Those conversations pushed her in the direction of VBT. But in the end, the most important factor of all, Bailey wanted VBT.
I knew I didn't want the rods because I couldn't, like, do gymnastics and stuff.
This has to be her decision. It's her life, ultimately. We are her parents. We need to make sure she's safe. But, you know, this is her life to live.
When I visit Bailey 3 days after her VBT surgery, she had just gotten her chest tube out. She checks her lung function on a spirometer. One of her lungs had to be deflated for the surgery. Mom tells me Bailey's been a champ. She started walking laps around the hospital floor the day after surgery. And Beth says she's already noticed some changes.
Her shoulders were very uneven prior to surgery, and I feel they're leveling out to look pretty equal.
Bailey feels a little different, too.
It's like, I feel it made me taller. I don't know if it actually did. It just feels like it.
Even Dad, who is so on the fence, feels the family made the right decision.
Well, it's only the first week, but I'm very pleased with it. She seems to be recovering nicely.
Postoperatively, she's been a trooper.
I also got to catch up with Amir, the surgeon. I ask him, what's next for scoliosis patients? Already, I know there's another scoliosis surgery just around the corner called ApiFix. It involves a rod with a ratcheting device that can move as the spine corrects over time, and it might be available to patients as an experimental treatment by the end of this year. And Amir says the possibilities aren't limited to new surgeries. As scientists better understand the causes of scoliosis, solutions in gene therapy or gene editing may be on the horizon. Doctors are already using gene therapy to treat other spinal disorders.
Perhaps rather than even needing an incision, you just have an injection into your discs that are abnormal. And then my dream is one day that we can just take a pill and you're able to, treat your scoliosis. Obviously, that would put a lot of surgeons out of business, but that's okay.
So VBT is not the final frontier?
If VBT was the final frontier, I would feel I had failed in my career. I mean, we have to keep improving.
As for whether Bailey will do a back handspring again?
I would say I'm hopeful, but we'll have to wait and see.
That story was reported by Steph Yin.